Dale. Bienvenidos and welcome to the Familia FFP podcast. I'm Jorge Georgie Martin, and we got the primos in the house. We got a sub in, the DH, Primo Nico Gutierrez and Ricky Torres. How we doing?
What up?
How you doing?
Oh, yeah, baby. Oh, yeah.
Good to see you, Nico. Good to hear your voice.
Yeah, baby. It's so good. Yeah, bienvenidos. Well, welcome, Primo. Well, Hector's sitting out tonight. So Nico is, as he's called himself, the designated Hector. Gracias everybody for joining us. Como siempre es un placer. Y estamos aquí a servirlos. Make sure you're checking out our website for at familiaffp.com. So adentro y afuera, that's going to be our stardom sit-em column that you're going to see several different versions of it the next few days for each position. And make sure you're checking out our social media at Familia FFB, as well as on Twitter and Instagram, as well as our Familia FFB Facebook page. Well, Primo Nico, how you doing, baby?
I'm doing well, man. It's good to be back on. It's been a couple of weeks and I missed it. And, you know, I listened in and I was very excited to see everybody still jazzed up. You know, COVID has been minimal. You know, we only lose a few players, injured reserve / COVID, I guess we call it now. But, you know, it's been good. It's been fun to watch. And I'm so glad sports is back. Like, you know, World Series, you had hockey, football's here.
Though we're recording this right after the Los Doyers lost on Wednesday night. So, but yeah, this episode will be airing on Thursday, October 22nd. So, vamos a ver. Hey, we're still believing. We still believe in Los Doyers, but I'm hoping they don't have a bad beat. Now, I want to share a little bit on Monday Night Football in one of my leagues. One of the teams was leading by about 15 points going into the last 2 minutes of Monday Night Football. But the team that they were playing had Kenyon Drake and Amari Cooper. And with those two guys scoring within the last two minutes, it turned a 15 point lead into a 6 point loss. It was just the worst bad beat I've heard in a while, at least this season, man.
Georgie, for every bad story, there's a good story. So somebody was very happy that happened. So
I did. The guy who won, I texted him. I said, "You better get your butt to Vegas right now and just bet it all on black or something like that. get to a blackjack table and start playing heavy." So, oh man, so estaba ahí, Dios mío, crazy times, man. Well, hey, let's get into some chisme.
Chisme.
Chisme. Oh man. Well, so we've heard a little bit about all this blow up in Cowboy Land, where Ricky, you're loving this, aren't you?
Hell yeah. I mean, I've always been a fan of watching the Cowboys lose, and this year I get to watch it before December happens.
Los Caballeros.
And it's just, I mean, it's not only losing, but drama on top of it, players coming out and talking off the record that the coaches are totally unprepared and that you don't teach. That's like breaking a major rule.
But have you seen that stadium though? Wow.
Oh yeah. And they can actually have fans in there, but I don't get it. It sucks having this happen right after Dak Prescott goes out for the season with that season ending, broken leg.
And it just sounds like Dak was holding on to the whole thing. He was kind of, even though he wasn't the best player on the team because he had Zeke, he was still the guy keeping everyone together, keeping them calm, help making sure they win games. And now that you got that guy gone, I mean, now everything's falling apart. So the whole locker room's falling apart and the team on the field. So it's like,
and Dak,
what is going to happen in a week?
Yeah,
no contract, so he's just
absolutely.
He was crying. I'm like, what's he crying? There's a lot of things, but you know, contract could have been one of those things, you know.
Well, it was, I mean, he stepped away from $100 million, he turned that down, and you know, because he wanted a different deal. So, oh goodness, and you know, the crazy thing, because of all the COVID protocols, apparently he can't be, because he's on the IR, he cannot be in the facility. So how crazy is that? So
they don't get to see him. He's just not part of the team anymore.
Yeah.
And I'm sure the guys are hurt to not see Dak around.
So. Yeah. I mean, I'm sure he could do rehab, but I don't think he could be like in the main, you know, clubhouse locker room, whatever.
He'd have to quarantine himself like they are, and it would just be a lot of work, especially when he still has to go into treatments and, you know, still get seen by a doctor. So it's just a lot.
Well, speaking of a lot of work, Antonio Brown, he's about to finish his suspension, and because it's going to be 8 weeks. And so that'll be, you know, we're going to week 7. So he's going to be, and the Seahawks and other teams are interested in him. Who wants to see him sign with Seattle?
If you haven't picked him up already, he's gone. I already looked. Yeah. Everyone's already picked him up. I think it's that big of a deal, though, because you got Metcalf, you got Lockett. Maybe he takes away from Lockett, but Metcalf is a beast. And I don't see Russell Wilson being the type of player. Just because he's got AB, he's going to start throwing to him a lot. I see Wilson still giving it to the open receiver, so I don't think this changes much.
I'd say he'd go to the Raiders, but we tried that, and he burned them.
I think the Raiders and the Steelers are both off limits for him.
Oh, yeah.
The Steelers are kind of loaded with receivers anyway. I know that one of the teams that talked about was the Ravens, so which – That would be interesting, because especially considering he's Marquise Brown's cousin, uncle, you know, somehow they're related. But
something like
I just hope it's not Seattle, because it's like everything is so perfect with DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett. Basically,
he's got all of deep them. Roots there, though, as far as he knows people. He's got friends there, so that's the one team that is pretty much going to be a lock.
And Russell Wilson is one of the guys kind of like, you know, banging the drum for him, I guess. You know what I'm saying? So that's going to be heating up. But yeah, I grabbed him on our Familia League, and I looked to grab him on a couple of my other leagues, and he was gone there. So, oh well, let's see what happens. I forget who I dropped for him.
Wait, don't you have him in the Family League?
Yeah, I picked him up. I picked him up today.
What time?
This morning.
Damn, I gotta stop working for a living.
Yeah, I tell you.
It's getting in the way of my fantasy.
Claypool's the new Antonio Brown. We all know that.
Claypool's just a beast. I love his nickname, Mapletron. So that's beautiful. Okay, it's because he's Canadian.
Oh, really? I figured he's like the Claypool lane. Stay out of the Claypool lane, man. He's going to run you over.
Or you could do like Claypool and Deadpool or something like that. Yeah, you know, do a superhero, a different type of superhero. Joe Mixon, not practicing. He's got a foot injury. So, you know, he did it in the loss to the Colts. So that's going to be something to follow, because they got the game against Cleveland coming up. Obviously, Nico, you're going to be talking about that in a second, but you know, say, I mean, Wednesday, not practicing on Wednesday is one thing. It's Thursday, Friday, especially Friday practices. Yeah.
But I mean, he's a veteran, Georgie. So if he doesn't practice, he knows the team. He should know everything. He's been there a while now. So I feel like maybe he doesn't need to practice Thursday, but he has to show up at least one day.
Yeah. Ricky, what are you hearing on this? Austin Eckler maybe out longer, later than sooner.
According to Anthony Lynn, that's what he said about him, is that Austin Eckler will be back later than sooner. He called the hamstring strain very serious. He's missed one game so far, but it doesn't sound like he's going to be coming off the IR when he's first available. So if you want to get anybody, get Justin Jackson, because he's just out snapping him 59% to 35. He saw 20 touches to Kelly's 12, and he's just the better back. Kelly's amazing, don't get me wrong. But he's still a rookie, and Jackson's earned it. So I think Jackson deserves it. And I think the Chargers know that too, because last week he was, oh my God, he was serviceable. And he was like a free pick. No one was picking him up. Yeah. So, I feel like this is good for Jackson owners, obviously. But if you're an Eckler owner, this hurts, because if you drafted Eckler, you better hope you have another good running back, because – I don't know. I just feel bad for the guy. So many running backs are going down right now.
Oh,
Joshua Kelly. I mean, he's available in our league. I saw that. Like, why did he drop them? But no one wants him. You know.
You know what? I mean,
I don't have room.
it's starting to run out of room. Plus, you know, he did all those fumbles. You know, he did several fumbles over a couple of games, and all of a sudden, it's like, yeah, you don't want ball security issues with your running back. So,
and you got to show discipline. If you let him do that and still run, then when you finally do bench him, he's gonna get pissed off because he never had to deal with it. So, it's good.
All right, show some discipline. I'm glad I heard that, because see, this is why I listen to this show. So I learned this.
Yeah, you get to record the show, so you get to hear it earlier.
Exactly.
So Fitzmagic, Ryan Fitzpatrick, said he was shocked by the Dolphins.
He said he was heartbroken.
Yeah, heartbroken. That's right. Oh,
oh, it broke his heart or whatever.
Yeah, broke his heart.
It was fake news. That's what he said.
I mean, you know, he knew it was coming, and you know, and it's always the guy, you know, that week where the bye week, that's a good time to do that changeover. But, you know, he was playing well and they were doing, they're 3-3. The team's balling out, doing pretty well on defense. I actually looked and today in points scored, the Dolphins are like the number 6 defense in fantasy. So go figure on that. That's what happens when you get a shutout against the Jets.
They've been beating the spread every week. They finished my parlay last week. I love the Dolphins.
Oh, man. Yeah. But you know what? I mean, I think we all knew it was Tua time. And even Fitzpatrick said he was there to mentor him and make him better. But
he didn't do a good enough job.
Yeah.
They're like, you know, we'll just put him in.
It's kind of a ballsy move by the Dolphins. You know, you're playing – the team's playing pretty well, 3-3. And
that's not well. But okay,
considering what you expected, I think we were all looking at like 5-11, and now you know 500 is well above that.
Yeah, I want like the team like the Marlins in baseball, low money, shouldn't be there, and they're in the World Series. You just can't see that in football. You know, if you don't have the team, you're just not going to make it. You know.
Yeah, football's so different.
You can't have a scrappy football team.
Yeah,
because there's so many elite players out there.
Unless Ryan Fitzpatrick goes to the Bears, and they could be the Bad News Bears. And then they come back. Was it the Bail Bonds? Was it Taco Bail Bonds or was it?
Chico's Bail Bonds.
Chico Bail Bonds. That's right. They can come in and they'll come back. I love it.
So moving on, Andy Reid said he's not sure that Le'Veon Bell is going to even be active this week on week 7. I mean, how much hope does that give to the Clyde Edwards-Helaire owners?
I'm sure they're happy. They're going to be, I think they're 10.5 road favorites against, who are they playing this week?
They are playing.
I know they just tore up Buffalo. CEH got a lot of yards.
They're playing Denver.
So he's going to get time. And with Patrick Mahomes, all he has to do is throw 3 touchdowns. They're going to be running the rest of the game. So who knows? They're obviously Le'Veon's just going to be a healthy scratch probably, just so he can get into the offense and really learn about it before he goes in. But it's because they're going against the Broncos. They're not going up against the Ravens or another good team. So they don't need to have all their cards on the table right now.
Well, if you had one of the best running backs ever and you wanted to test him out, this is the game to test him out, you know?
No, not if everyone looks at your team every week and they want to see what you're doing, you need to keep some stuff secret.
Well, you know what? Is it Mahomes? When he runs, he's very careful and he waits to run through, kind of like Bell did when he was in Pittsburgh. I used to watch him and just kind of cringe. Like,
yeah, I hate how
you're going to wait runs. For that block, and he would. And he would go get it. So I think Mahomes runs just like him, so he's going to be right at home there.
Bell still runs like that, and he just hasn't been able – he does that, but he hasn't been able to accelerate right away real quick. So that's where he's lost his game.
And he's had the bad line. But I want to see I want to see what he looks like with that with the Chiefs, because
with a good line or
with a good line.
Yeah, exactly. If he gets what he used to have, I mean, come on, you never know.
I don't know. I still don't know. And
it's
now,
been like 3 years, bro.
You know, I'm piggybacking on my predictions with Gronk and who was it? Graham. And also with Smith coming back, Alex Smith, I'm going to say that Le'Veon Bell goes over 100 yards this game.
If he's active, right?
Well, if he plays. If he doesn't play, then whatever. So.
Well, someone who's not playing this week CMC, and I'm mad because I got him in two leagues, but he's got a high ankle sprain. And whenever I see something like a bad injury like this, I'm excited for the player not to play if I have him, because I don't want them to re-injure themselves, especially when they rely on their legs as much as Christian McCaffrey. But the good news is he has a shot for returning week 8 against the Falcons, and you know he's going to eat pay dirt there. The game week 8 is on Thursday. There is a chance he might not play and they rest him for the bye, but right now he's definitely not playing this weekend.
Is that the week you and I are playing, Ricky, week 8?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, baby.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. So we'll see.
It's going to be exciting.
I'm going to
ruin you.
So everybody, with Mike Davis, you get to fire him up for one more week. And speaking of fired up, Nico, we're getting Nico's picks.
That's right. Nicolas Vegas Gutierrez. That's Monday. So... should I just get into it? Should I just kind of
we're gonna leave out the fact we're gonna leave
I
out
want you
last
to
week's
explain
pick.
Each and every one. Yeah.
So last week's pick they couldn't go in. So I officially did this 2 weeks ago and I was 4 out of 5, which in good. Most circles is 80%, or like people used to say 8 out of 10, but let's just go down 4 out of 5. So I'm gonna sit there and I'm gonna predict 5 for 5 on this one. And these are close picks, like Georgie said, because I wanted to keep it tight, kind of like, yeah. Because you could actually pick these for the win. So I'm just going to jump right into it. Make it quick. Give some explanation. You guys can chime in, of course, because I'd love your input. And tell me I'm wrong and everything else. But I got the New York Giants playing Philly. And they are given 4.5 points. So 4.5 points. I think the Giants are going to cover. Philly is just torn down. They lost Miles. They lost Ertz. And... you know, they came back pretty strong. I like the way they did that last week, but it's just a team that's just been, now that, you know, they, if they get knocked down, they don't really get back up, and they got knocked down with their players. So I think the Giants will go, right?
I like that picture. I like that.
I think that's a good one. I mean, I know it's in Philadelphia, but I mean, it's, I think this
it's
is
right.
A
they're
field goal
they're
game.
Just, they're torn up right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, the Giants are actually a good team. Their defense, like, no one really knows. And then Freeman,
I wouldn't go that far.
Running back, Freeman's not doing too bad, and this is his time to shine. So we'll see.
It's not. He's not going to shine. It's going to be the Slayton Danny Dimes show. Danny Dimes has a lot of redemption he needs to serve.
Oh, he owes me like 3 weeks of redemption. I keep talking about him for streamer quarterback streamers, and he keeps burning me. So this is the last week he's doing it.
This is going to be a tough game for me because I have Philadelphia's defense, yeah. Because I figured why not stream them against the New York Giants? They are who we thought they were. Yeah. And it's not like Philadelphia is playing like who's the crappiest team right now?
The Jets.
They're not playing like the Jets where teams just look amazing against them. They still put up a fight. So, gosh, if this is a field goal game, the thing is I just don't see who's going to score for Philly.
Yeah, no,
yeah, I don't know. With Miles, especially with Miles Sanders,
no Sanders, no Ertz, no Jeffrey. Like, they got nothing.
Exactly. So I feel very comfortable with this one. It's not my premium pick, but it's my definitely. You should look at this one. Next one is Cleveland playing at Cincinnati. Now, Cincinnati at the beginning of the season, like, they're just going to get crushed all season, but they started to come back. Burroughs is like, you know, wow, you know, yeah. He's for real, but he just doesn't have a chance. And Cincinnati has the tools, but I guess Mixon's out, right?
He's questionable.
He's trending that way, but we'll see. We'll see tomorrow morning.
He blew up 2 weeks ago. So, and you don't know about Cincinnati, but I think Cleveland, they were just looking great, and then they got beat up. And so now I think they're going to come together because they do have good players, great defense. Defense loves to score because they want to get that TV in the end zone going, yeah. So I think Cleveland's going to come in and win this, you know. This is one of my higher picks. I like this one. I would definitely
like this pick better than your other one.
Okay. Next one is Dallas, which they used to call the Cowboys versus the Indians, but now we're all PC and it's going to be the Washington because, you know, it's going to be the American natives. They're going to play.
It's going to be the Washington football team against the Dallas no football team.
Caballeros. So, but you know, I think Dalton coming in, he's experienced. He actually just didn't know the team, but he's a good player. He's got the team, and he's got two good running backs. Even Pollard is the second running back of Dallas. I think they would do great, and the Dallas defense is there. Washington has just shined. I don't know where Washington's coming from. I mean, there's like, who are these guys every once in a while? But it's a pick straight up, and I think it's actually moved to where Dallas is minus one, so the money's starting to move that way. I would go with Dallas on that one.
I like that pick because I think actually Dallas is going to be licking their wounds after that game, and they're going to want to come back hard.
You guys are both wrong. Dallas is on the downgrade. Wow. Washington has more momentum going for them. Washington's and Dallas, horrible. Dallas has not. I feel like with their drama, they're just going to overlook this game, and they should play excellent. They just lost Dak, and they still have a quarterback that can throw. But I just feel like the mood there is just so sullen and like low. I can't see them winning this game.
Hey, Ricky, so
if they win this game, I don't even think they'd be happy about it. So I don't
feel like they survived it.
Yeah, exactly. And it's like, no, I think Washington will take it. They still have a decent team somewhat.
Well, I just look at the I'm going to agree with you on this one. Just purely on the simple talent factor. The Washington football team has maybe one player who could play on Dallas, and that's Terry McLaurin. And Dallas still has talented receivers. And I think if they, for me, I think if they concentrate on giving the ball to Ezekiel Elliott and just let him run all day, I think that'll hopefully take the pressure off of Andy Dalton. Plus, it'll keep him from having to sit back there and having to endure that Washington pass rush. But, you know, Mike McCarthy's not listening to me.
Yeah. You know? Exactly.
So you fantasy players, you guys can listen though.
Yeah, and so Ricky, we'll see next week, and when Dallas wins, I'll do my little kung fu song for you. Ho 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 ho!
Oh,
I won't if they don't. So you know, we'll go from there. So next one, you know, me being from the North Bay and everything, big old you know Niner fan, I think San Francisco is on fire. They've got all their offensive team that they need, and even with Bosa out, I think the defense is still that. You know, they're up to that Super Bowl quality team, although. Last week, the week before was not good, but I think San Francisco is just going to tear up New England, especially first half, but definitely overall. New England is just, I think they're finding there's going to be more conflict, I think, within the New England team. You just got, you know, more shine versus, you know, structure. That's, you know, there's a conflict there. And I think the Niners are a good team. They come together. Kittle down the middle, you can't beat that, you know, so. It's plus two, so I would bet the money line on this one for these guys.
Ooh, money line. I mean, I
think it's a easy bet. The way that Cam's not going to be good against a tough defense, so I just don't see them scoring points. So yeah, I see San Fran by like eight.
I don't remember.
They suck.
I remember the last time New England looked this bad. I mean, it was definitely pre-Tom Brady. So it was in the 90s, somewhere thereabouts. Yeah. But
explain to me why New England is favored. I don't even get this. I mean,
because they're home. I think that's the only thing. And they still have a pretty good defense.
And the Niners have let down a lot of people.
Yeah. You know what? That cardboard crowd is very loud over there. I
hear that. they still cheer in that Boston accent. They still boo in that Boston accent. Get out of here.
You put him in the park in the car, the cardboard. Yeah, it's a cold cardboard. So I'm feeling good about these so far. And that's one of my high picks. This is the high money pick right there. But, you know, and the Giants was on the lower end. But the next one, this is the one I'm not so sure about. This is my gut feeling. And you know what? My gut's been pretty good. But, and again, Pittsburgh and Tennessee, and I think they're both undefeated, right? 5-0 teams?
Both are 5-0, yes.
Oh, so this is a great one. And it's only 1 point. Spread. So this is a great, great game to watch. And I think Pittsburgh, when it comes and said it's done, I think Roethlisberger is just on fire. And no one's been paying attention because they were gone that first week because of COVID. And Tennessee was too. And they came back strong, you know. But again, I think when Pittsburgh punches them in the face, they're going to go, oh my God, what just happened? And Tennessee may not recover from it. So the statistics say Tennessee should get this in coaching. But I think Pittsburgh, just because of the team and where they are and the way they've been, I pay Pittsburgh plus one, maybe even the money line because, again, it's so close.
I tend to agree on that one. I think Pittsburgh's a good pick on that one. I mean, I think they're just the better team. I know the game's going to be in Tennessee, but I think they're just a little bit better. Though I wouldn't mind a lot of points because I got a lot of Pittsburgh and Tennessee players on my on several of my fantasy teams. So I wouldn't mind. I wouldn't mind some points going up there.
Pittsburgh's my defense, and I think they're averaging like 18 points for a defense. That's like unheard of. I mean, they're just killing it every
day. Oh, they're pretty ridiculous.
Yeah. I mean, they got more yards than the running backs, I think, on the returns and interceptions. So I love it. So these are my lock-in, bet the farm, forget about everything, don't listen to your wife kind of bets. So that's what I say today. And if you like these bets, you listen to me next week. And I'm going to give you the golden ticket, the Glengarry Ross leads, the best leads.
Okay. Always be closing.
These are the ABC leads. So, anyway, that's Nicolas Vegas Gutierrez, and those are my picks for the week.
Oh, awesome, baby.
I bet this week you go 4 for 5.
I can see that.
It's your first pick. It's your first pick. The Giants in Philly, I think it's going to be a field goal game.
So that would be pretty funny if I was always 4 for 5 and the top pick went out. Then I think our fans would start to listen in, and you know, Guido from Vegas said, "Hey, I like your picks. We'd like you to come down to Vegas, maybe get a little steak, go down to Caesar's Palace, come down the elevator, just like you know, Rain Man. It's all good."
Fourth shot.
We're counting cards.
That's right.
All right. Well, let's get into some previews for week 7, halfway point of the fantasy season, because week 13 is the regular season. So we got buys for Miami, Baltimore, Indy, and Minnesota. So we're going to start on Thursday Night Football. New York Football Giants 1-5 at Philadelphia Eagles 1-4-1. So it's as we know, it's Philly by 4.5, and it's an over under 45. And this game, it's it could be a battle of the bad in a lot of ways, which
it
I think this game, and we had another, well, last week, the not last week, a couple weeks ago, where it was what, the Broncos and the Jets, that they were both winless.
This is gonna be that game.
Yeah, it's gonna be a little ugly. I mean, Daniel Jones, you know, he had so much hype around him in the preseason, and then he gets through the first 4 weeks and it's like, okay, fine, he's gonna do well. Well, week 5, he's gonna do well this week. No, week 6, he's gonna do well this week. So do we dare predict that he's gonna do well in week 7 against the Philly defense, which is only in the middle against the pass? So is he gonna have enough time? Is he gonna have enough weapons? You don't say. What do you guys think?
I think definitely you gotta throw Slayton. Dude's a beast. He's just always getting the ball. And he's got the best hands on the team. Other than that, it's like, who do you believe in? Is Golden Tate anything? No, I don't think Devontae Freeman's good, so don't put him in any team. Don't even think about him in DraftKings, because if he goes off, that's mere luck, and you don't want to be on that side. It's like these teams both suck. But their defenses, it's like, do their defenses suck enough to make the other offense good enough? I think Philly's still got an okay defense. I don't know what's going to happen because I don't even know half these names. I mean, obviously I know them, but it's like Fulgham. I can't even. Boston Scott.
Because Miles Sanders got ruled out. Yeah.
Who's Becky Roberts? I don't know who she is.
Who is she? Yeah.
And honestly, I don't even know if you should stream Philly's defense this week. I am, because I have Baltimore's defense and I have no other options. But it's like Daniel Jones is like one of the only players on this team that I can, him and Slayton are the only players in this whole game that I can see kind of being fantasy relevant. Like no one on the Philly side.
I don't know. I mean, I
if Godert's off the IR and Ertz is down, you got to throw Godert in though. Goddard.
Yeah. Godert. Oh yeah. Yeah, he's got to play. But now a lot of the talk is he's going to sit this week. Fulgham, does he? You know, he's had 2 good weeks in a row. He had a good game against Baltimore last week. But you know, is he going to have another good game? I mean, he's probably the only guy that's going
to. The only guy.
We know. I know. We expected Deshaun Jackson to be back, but who knows? And you know, Boston Scott, I did a little digging, and he had almost 300 yards in two games against the Giants last year, filling in for Miles Sanders. And I mean, just a stud. I mean, does he do it again? I actually picked him up on a league where I needed running back help because of buys. So
I think he's going to go off. I predict he's going to go off.
I mean, I hope so.
I mean, Ertz. I think Ertz, he was hurt like 4 weeks ago, right? Or
that's last week. Numbers. He got hurt last week. Oh,
okay.
Week.
His numbers were just really bad.
Is that what he may as well have been hurt.
Exactly. So, but I don't know. Scott, I think that, so.
Yeah, that, I mean, those. I think those are the startable guys. You know, the defenses, the Philly defense is kind of in the middle against the passing game. Number 19 against quarterbacks, number 12 against running backs. The Giants are surprisingly good against the pass. They're number 7 against quarterbacks. They got James Bradbury, who is the number 5 rated cornerback according to Pro Football Focus, and they're not that good against the running backs. Number 22 in the league. So maybe it could be a game for Boston Scott. I'm almost of it.
Are they going to have fans in Philly? Do you know?
No, they do not have fans yet. Philly and New York still don't have fans.
You know what they need? You know those inflatable guys that kind of do their arms back and forth? Wacky inflatable guys? They need to put those out there, kind of like, you know, but angry faces, because they're Philly fans. Right?
I can't even imagine the electricity bill.
I'm telling you, I called it right here. They're going to do the wacky inflatable guys, fans, and they're going to put their faces on it.
Denver Broncos, Mile High Stadium, actually put cardboard cutouts of the entire South Park realm.
Oh, that's awesome.
You look at the pictures. It's hilarious. It's like, I think it's every character and they're in the seats. They obviously didn't cover the whole stadium, but if you've ever watched South Park, you can look through it and you're like, oh my goodness, I remember that show or that episode.
Well, it's funny. They're going to kick the field goal and the football is going to kick.
Why do they still have nets? Why do they still have nets? There's no fans that the ball is going to hit. Let us see it hit the chairs or something.
Maybe they want to, you know, retrieve the footballs more easily.
Oh, they got like 80 of them over there. They let Tom Brady near them. Might as well let it go into the seats. Let's talk about a fun game, okay? Something that everyone's going to be getting points galore. Detroit, 2-3 at Atlanta, 1-5. It's weird because these teams are both like, you got to get action on them. On the Detroit side, Matthew Stafford, however, has been a little, what's the opposite word for impressive? Underimpressive, I guess.
Underachieving.
There you go. 223 yards last week, one touchdown, one interception. He should have had way more than that. So, the big play of the game last week was DeAndre Swift, over 100 yards and two touchdowns. Georgie, is this it? Is he number one?
Well, you know, remember last week I asked the question, you know, could they use the bye week to bring him back into the, you know, kind of get and work him in more as a running back because they'd only been using him in the passing game. And it was right there. I mean, it was kind of a 50-50 timeshare as far as carries were concerned, because Adrian Peterson got 15. But I'm hoping, because I've got him on a couple of leagues and I'm actually starting him on both leagues where I have him. So
and it's going to be tough because you're right. Adrian Peterson had 15 carries to DeAndre's 14. Just one was way more productive than the other.
Swift got two touchdowns right after he dropped one in the end zone to lose the game.
Oh, yeah.
Can you imagine that? With two strong touchdowns, they all patted him on the back because they want him to feel good, you know. Feels pretty good now, right?
Well, now he gets to be like, what's up? What's up?
Yeah, it's mine. So,
now, also in this game, we got Kenny G back, who got 100 yards last week. TJ Hockenson, who got a touchdown, which saved his week last week. This team's just going to score a lot of points because Atlanta's defense just isn't there. Well, and the good news is
6, man. That's big.
Detroit has no defense either. So Atlanta's going to go off. Maybe Gurley has a chance. I think Gurley is a horrible option on your team. I'm happy I didn't get him in any league. He only got 47 yards last week. Meanwhile, you have Julio Jones getting 137 yards and two TDs off 8 receptions. And then they still got a TD to Hurst, a TD to Ridley, which made Matt Ryan look like a god last week with 371 yards, 4 touchdowns. He's going to do it again this week. Why not? I just hope that Stafford can get back to his original form. And I hope this game easily beats their over-under of 56. Easily, if they can just do what they always do.
So this is a draft. This is a DraftKings harvest area, right? This is going to be big points.
Oh yeah, this is definitely, definitely where you can get some
big time.
You just have to hit the right player because these are bad teams have blow up players, and this last week was Julio Jones, and then it was also DeAndre Swift for the Lions. So it's you just got to pick the right guy. So and you got to look at the way the game's going to be played. And I don't know. Both teams are just going to be throwing the ball a lot. So I like Hockenson.
Well, it's funny because Matt Ryan, you know, it's like who's going to show up? Is it Matt Ryan or Ryan Matt? What do they call it when it's the opposite in the Seinfeld?
Right. Oh, I forget that one. Yeah. But we have been calling him Mateo Yellow.
Yeah.
Matty Ice.
It's like, oh, he got 11 Mateo points. Awa. He got 5 points. Oh, he got 45 points. Like, who's going to show up this week? I mean, I don't understand. You know, they get stopped at the one every time. Like, what is going on?
So. No,
Gurley's not the guy he used to be. Those who thought he was going to go to Atlanta and find himself again, nah, it's not happening.
He's not the girly man anymore. He's just a regular runner. That's right.
Oh, man. I'm going to take this one. I'm going to take us to Cincinnati. Cincinnati. This is good. We got the Cleveland Browns 4-2 at Cincinnati 1-4-1. So this is always the Battle of Ohio. It's a rivalry game. It's, you know, traditionally it's been just the bang 'em game. Cleveland, as Nico mentioned, is 3
2 ugliest jerseys in the league.
Ooh. yeah. I mean, yeah, definitely. You know, it's funny the Browns the Browns helmet. I'm just like, really? Come on,
their throwbacks suck too. But.
Oh, yeah, you don't know say. And the Bengals they used to have just actually, I like the little tiger print now. They used to have just Bengals across the, you know, written across the side of the helmet. And I was just like, oh, how pathetic is that one? But this game's going to be interesting because, you know, we got a couple of Heisman Trophy winners that are going up against each other, Baker Mayfield and Joe Burrow. They are divided by a couple of drafts. Mayfield coming off of a game where he was pulled late in the game and you know he had that rib injury, so there was it because of the rib injury, was it because he was just he only had 119
they
yards?
Were losing by a lot
and they were that's right, they were getting pounded but this is a different game because you know you're looking at Cincinnati is a very different defense from Pittsburgh. They are improved this year, but they're just not nowhere near that level. So I'm expecting big things out of Kareem Hunt this week.
Really?
Yeah, I think it's gonna be a good week for him this week. I hope you know OBJ better and the fantasy players who own him. Gotta hope that he bounces back from his 25 yards last week.
I think OBJ is gonna do a lot of running this game because
that's always fun.
I don't like Kareem Hunt. It is a good opportunity for him because their defense against the running back for Cincinnati they suck. So right. I think Hunt needs to because people invested in him. He's the highest drafted handcuff. So now that he's got the job, he needs to do it. But, I mean, we'll see. Last week was a tough defense, so 57 total yards. He's got to beat that this time.
Got to beat that this
time. And the team is going to be on his back. If he does well, Cleveland wins. If he doesn't get over 50 yards, they're going to lose.
You know, on the rest of the roster, I mean, Jarvis Landry, I think maybe he's an emergency play if you've got issues with bye weeks or injuries. Austin Hooper, Hooper. But on the Cincy side, there's more excitement. Joe Burrow, the Cleveland defense
there
is
not more excitement. You know, but go for it.
Well, the Cleveland defense is not very good against the pass. So I could see Joe Burrow having himself a game.
To who?
It's got to be T. Higgins.
Oh, Higgins it's got to be Boyd.
You think it's Boyd? I mean,
Boyd's
it could
the most
be both.
Consistent piece there. A.J. Green got lucky last week to see 11 targets. Higgins did do well last week, but I still think that Boyd's the most consistent piece and a rock solid guy.
He is. I mean, he's the guy that's week to week. He's kind of like their guy. So I could see that. I could see that. I mean, I guess T. Higgins is that sexy young player that you just get all excited about because he's new.
It's a sexy play for DraftKings.
Very sexy. Very sexy. Well, let's go to one of the sexiest games of the weekend, Ricky.
God, we gotta stop talking like that. All right, one of my favorite games of the weekend because I think Tennessee's finally going to get their first loss. We have the undefeated Pittsburgh Steelers versus the Tennessee Titans, who are being led by one of the biggest beasts, the new beast mode pretty much, in Derrick Henry. And I'm telling you, this is going to be a good one to watch because Derrick Henry is going against a great defense. What are they, number three against the run, Georgie?
Against running backs, here? Yep.
Number yes. five against the quarterback. So we're really going to see if Tennessee can win in the playoffs because this is exactly what you're going to see in a first round.
Derrick Henry is the DH of MVP. He's not quite there.
Their defense in Pittsburgh so good. Big Ben only needed 162 yards and one touchdown to dominate the Browns. James Conner got 101 yards. So they didn't have to do much just to destroy that team, and they can do a lot. And this week they're going to go against a team that's actually going to challenge their defense and throw up points. The thing is, I don't think Tennessee is going to be able to catch back up because I don't believe in Ryan Tannehill's deep ball. He did show some action last week, and he has A.J. Brown back, who tore it up with two touchdowns. I don't know. I feel like Pittsburgh's defense does not break.
Are you James Conner?
I would always bet on Henry, but I would not get him on DraftKings because there's no way he's going to be worth the money.
He'll be expensive.
Jonu Smith with his ankle, he didn't get that many points last week, but he is definitely – he's in that second-tier tight end. So if – whenever you have a good, tough defense, I feel like you need to get the tight end because that's going to be like the quarterback's little – side, you know, to get rid of the defense when he can't throw deep because they got coverage, you want the tight end. So I feel like this is that game, but I don't know. I just don't see Tennessee doing it. I hope they don't do anything because I love being right, but we'll see. Definitely in Pittsburgh, throw in everybody. Their defense in Tennessee isn't garbage, but they give up points. Deshaun Watson threw the ball all over these guys, and now they have Big Ben throwing over them. And they got James Conner, who I believe is in a contract year, who's playing amazing.
Are you James Conner?
Yeah, he gets slapped in the mouth so many times. Pittsburgh's going to have a great day. Pittsburgh had a bye week last week, so they're well-rested.
It was 2 weeks.
Played the Browns, but that's a bye right. week.
Well, you know, I think because you remember when the West Coast offense came out? It was kind of like, you know, run, shoot, run, shoot. I think the new offense now is basically the wide receivers running. Debo came in. He started to do that for the Niners. And then Claypool.
Yep.
And then you've got OBJ. They sit there and they do these plays where they give it to the wide receiver and they run. And these guys can run. And I see it over and over and over again. So these tough defenses, that's the only thing that disrupts them. Like Ricky was saying, Pittsburgh, you know, they're there, but they don't know what to do with that.
So you think – Tennessee is going to run with A.J. Brown?
No.
They have.
And they average like – those guys are averaging like 15 yards every time they do those plays. Have you seen those plays? They run around and go, and the wide receiver goes forever. Like, what the heck just happened there?
They're gimmick plays to me. I don't see them being that
– West Coast offense was gimmick. Throwing the ball was gimmick until like 1940. Then like, oh, you know,
because Wildcat worked for a year, then it didn't. So
it still works in college pretty well.
Yeah, that's college. Come on.
I'm not here to argue with you right here at home, maybe, but not right here. Yeah.
Who are your top two picks in this game then, Nico?
What?
Fantasy wise. Who are the top two this game?
Oh, Henry, easy.
Really?
Yes. Because and then
I think Connor gets just as many points as Henry.
I think Henry and then, well, I think both Big Ben and Tannehill are going to, you know, this is supposed to be a low-scoring game. Or no, actually, it's 50. Pittsburgh never gets over, like, 43. So this is going to be high. So I think Big Ben and Tannehill are going to go off. So We'll see.
I look at, I mean, this one, you know, Tannehill's been playing so well, but man, he has not seen a defense like the Steelers. I mean, the Buffalo is, you know, had the reputation coming in, but they did not, they were not playing up to that level when they played. And obviously Houston isn't that level.
This is a great game. I mean, the rivalry,
it's going to be a good game.
The rivalry goes back to 1920. Oh, no, I'm just kidding. Tennessee was only what, you know.
But technically they were the Houston Oilers before they were the Tennessee Titans, and they were the big rivalry of the Steelers in the 70s and 80s.
That's right.
Yeah.
Your knowledge is deep, Jorge. It's not your photo.
These are not the droids you're looking for.
Exactly.
No, it's this one's going to be a good game. And you know what? There's some interesting subplots here. I mean, Juju Smith-Schuster has just been, he's been a ghost. He has just been someone that he's just disappeared.
That's a long name for Pittsburgh, right?
Didn't we say
it was a long name?
A long name, Juju Smith-Schuster. But yeah, he only got 6 yards last week. The week before, I think he had like 28 or something like that. So is he just disappearing from the offense? And the other one is Diontae Johnson. You know, he is basically, he's gotten injured 2 games in a row, sandwiched around the bye week, and he got injured early in the games and never came back. So it's been a while, but I think he had like, he had over 20 targets in the first 2 games. I think it was 23 targets in the first 2 games. So Big Ben is going to be looking for him if he's healthy. So
yeah, he's just been injured.
Claypool took a lot of that stuff. Claypool's a rookie. Like this guy. So now they're gonna guard him, and now Juju's gonna be wide open. He's gonna go off. I predict 87 yards and a touchdown for 14.1 points.
Oh yes. Okay. Gotta love it. Gotta love it. Well,
Next game,
Carolina at New Orleans. It's the Carolina Panthers are 3-3 at New Orleans, 3-2. New Orleans is 7.5-point favorite, 51.5 points over under. I mean, this is a game that, you know, Carolina came into the season, New Orleans came into the season with this big defensive reputation, and they're just giving up points like crazy. I mean, they're giving up 23.3 fantasy points per game to the quarterback. And so that's going to look good for Teddy Bridgewater. They're kind of in the middle against the receivers and running backs, but you know, this game there's going to be some points scored. The you know, with Teddy B being you know, looking at that secondary being kind of inviting. I mean, these guys, remember, you know, so Justin Herbert.
What do they call it when you play your old team?
Yeah,
revenge game.
Yeah.
That's going to be right.
He wants to prove something real bad. And he's probably going to run because Teddy can run, man. So, you know,
if Teddy wants to prove something, he's going to do it with his arm.
He's got the receivers. I mean, Robbie Anderson, DJ Moore, they're both coming off of decent games last week against a tough Bears defense. Carolina is going to need to score some points because they're going to give up points to the Saints. I mean, Drew Brees has just been playing really well of late. Well,
Michael Thomas is coming back, but is he really coming back? I mean, was 80%, 60?
He's 100. He didn't play the other week because his attitude. So
yeah, they were expecting him to be back 100%. Yeah. I think it's going to be Drew Brees to Michael Thomas all day. They're going to be making up for lost time. And Kamara is just, I mean, he's just been a beast. He's he's the running back one in fantasy points per game. So, if as long as you're not.
Why would you guys let me get him in the second round? It's just like, anyways.
Teníamos miedo. You era scared like La Llorona.
You did. You're the one that came up with that news, and you're all like, hey, don't tell the family, guys, but I have some news.
Ricky, remember The Omen? That's why he used to call it Diablo. We were afraid of you.
The Diablo.
The child.
Pretty much.
But this is a game where New Orleans. Yeah. Go ahead, Nicole.
No, I was going to say, I like New Orleans, even with the spread on this one, but you just don't know. I mean, Summer Breeze. Who's going to show up? Could be Winter Breeze. I don't know.
Yeah, and you're right, because he's been here or there, but this is a rivalry game and it's a revenge game. So it's like, and you got Thomas coming back. So it's exciting. I feel like everyone's excited for this game. I bet you the players are. Emmanuel Sanders tore it up last week. It's about time. We know he can do this. So he's a nice sneaky play because Carolina's, they do have an okay defense, but they're going to have to guard Thomas. So hopefully Sanders is just open a lot. And yeah, I just feel like if it's a garbage game for Carolina, that's what they're built for, because they got Robbie Anderson and DJ Moore, two great deep threats, and a guy like Teddy Bridgewater who can make the play last longer. So take picture, last longer. Oh. So we'll see. We'll see what happens this game. But at my guess is garbage time for Carolina, but New Orleans still wins.
Yeah, I agree. Well, I'm gonna close this episode out, going down to Jersey, Buffalo Bills 4-2, coming off of a loss at New York Jets. The loss was on Monday Night Football in the rain. Buffalo's a 13-point favorite, home dog for the Jets. But who wants to bet on those guys? 45.5 is the over under. I mean, I look at this game. I'm playing big on Josh Allen, Stephon Diggs, and Cole Beasley could be like a sneaky flex play, because John Brown is definitely, you know, he may not play. He basically didn't play in the last game.
And he doesn't need to play this game.
No, he's not going to need to play in this game. No. Because the Jets, I mean, I think the only person I'm looking to play is Jameson Crowder. I mean, Sam Darnold may play, which is only going to help Jameson Crowder, but I'm not looking to play Gore. LaMichael Perrine, maybe he has some value later in the season when people are looking at running backs that need, when people's running backs get all injured and they need somebody in either the bye weeks or into the fantasy playoffs.
That's right now, man.
Yeah.
I'll be there.
But it's getting to be the Jets are the team that you just fire up your players against them. Yeah. You don't even
Buffalo's
think about
got
it.
A great they have a great defense when they play a bad team. So
right.
This is one of those. So it'll be exciting to watch them. When they play Kansas City or I forgot who else they play. I think it was Tennessee. They just did not have a great defense. So this one, it's like definitely you're excited to have them back. And it's going to be an embarrassing game. Buffalo's only supposed to win by minus 13. Come on. Or whatever. The spread's only minus 13. They're going to kill them. They're going to have 28 points to zero by half.
You think it's going to be a lot more than that?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I can see it.
I have Josh Allen and I got Diggs is in my combo. I mean, all you need is the center in those two, and that's really the offense. So that'll be good. So
this is a game where Josh Allen spreads the ball, though. Why not?
But Diggs is going to get his. He's going to get his. He'll get his 100 yards and a touchdown because the Jets just aren't stopping anybody.
And I mean, we need this game to find out what's going on with Buffalo's running game. I get it. They want to run everything through Josh Allen. But I need to know what to do with Singletary, right? Dude only got 32 yards on the ground last week. And that's scary with Moss back. But I'm pretty sure Moss wouldn't take the job over. But just – digging into Singletary's, timetable. It's just, I don't like it. So this game, if they're going to kill the Jets and have time to run the ball, I need to know who they're going to do it with. And I really hope it's Singletary, but both of these running backs are low plays this week, just because we don't know who to do.
The Jets got the quarterback. Was it Jose Skinny or Joe Flacco? Yeah.
Muy bien. Or it's Sam Darnold if he's the Arnold. Exactly.
Does it matter? Do you think it matters which one they put in as far as will it affect anything?
Not at all.
You know what? We haven't seen every year about this time. We've had like a spread of 13, 12 or more that somebody they came back and won. Like the big upset. We haven't seen that yet.
That's not going to happen this game.
I'm just saying. I know, not this one, but maybe next time. But Josh Allen is going to – I mean, he's my quarterback, so I need him to go off.
You need him to go off, and especially to Diggs. I hear you, Primo. All right, everybody. Eso es todo for our show.
Our show.
Thanks again to Anchor for being our hosting network and making sure our independent podcast gets out in the Familia community. Make sure you're subscribing at Apple. Leave us a review, por favor. Or you're subscribing on Spotify, Google, Stitcher, wherever you get your podcasts. Make sure everybody you're following us on Twitter at FamiliaFFB. I'm at JorgeMartin17. So I'll be giving I'll be dropping some knowledge from time to time. And make sure you're checking our Familia FFB Facebook page as well as our FamiliaFFB.com website. So, gracias, everybody. Gracias por escuchar. Remember, get out and rock the vote. Rock the
vote. Go vote.
Sí, para todos.
And remember, todos somos familia.
Adios, amigos.